But when we were looking for a place to live, Carol and I and my kids, we wanted to find a place where the believers weren't fighting all the time, and where there was something for our kids. And this is a place where the believers weren't fighting all the time. So I guess I should thank all of you for that. That's because it takes a lot of people to fight all the time, right? You can go to Acts 20. And we're very blessed to end up here. Even though Montana is much more beautiful. In Acts 20, verse 35, it says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to receive than to give. Is that a penalty? Let's just get this over with. Good. How much money you want to make? Right. I have what? I have what? Verse 35. I have what?
Show.
What?
Show.
You. Okay, that's $2. Anyway, the Lord who? What'd he say? Bob, is there an orientalism in this? Teaching's over. The Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to what?
Give
than to receive. And it's blessed is like happy. You're happier when you're giving. And that's a little key to life. If you're not happy, check to see if you're giving. I don't know how you would check that. But check to see if you're giving, if you're giving to others, if you're trying to help others. It's good to give. And in 1 John 3, 1 John what?
Yeah.
All right. It's like, we owe you money. 3, oh, sorry. 1 John 3. Where is 1 John? In the back by Psalms. 1 John 3, verse 16, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Someone went over that earlier. He laid down his life for us. That's how you begin to see how much God loves you. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, how shutteth and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If you have something that you can help somebody with, and you don't help them with it, how dwells the love of God in you? If you love somebody and you have something you can help them with, you use it, right? If you have 12 cars and someone that you, and you love someone and they don't have no cars, would you give them a car? If you had like $30 and you only needed $20 or something and someone needed $10, would you give them the $10? If you love them and you have the ability to help them, you'll help them. You'll use what you have to help them. Look at Acts 3. It's sort of weird that we were reading 1 John 3 and now Acts 3. By the way, I have like 40 things similar to Dean and Albert. I have ears, other things like that, shoes. Acts 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So he was asking alms, asking for donations or for money. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. Give me some alms, alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, we've taken a collection, and here is a new rascal. No. He said, silver and gold have I what?
None.
But such as I have give I thee? He didn't have silver and gold, but what did he have that he could give him? He had the power to heal him. And if you have something in your possession that can help someone else, you should use it. And one thing that you have, which is incredible, is the power of God. You have access to the power of God to help other people, to help the ones you love. You have the power of God available to you. Look at Ephesians 1, and you should use it. Silver and gold is nice, a hug is nice, helping people with money is nice, but you have something much more powerful and wonderful with which to help people. You have the power of God available for you to use to help those people that you love or people that you don't love. But you're supposed to help them too, right? In Ephesians 1, verse 19. Dean did live with me for 2 years. He was the best cleaner we ever had. Carol still talks about how he did the dishes and stuff like that. Like, perfect. That's not to say anyone else did him badly who lived with me. But in Ephesians 1, verse 19, this is something that God wants you to know. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, or to you also who believe? Power. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, or to you also? To who? Yeah, just pretend I'm just talking to you. Because this is written to you, not to all the better believers sitting around you. Not to all the more mature believers. I don't think we can find any more, but maybe we can find some more. I don't know about that. But the exceeding greatness of his power to you, not the people around you, not the better people, not the sharper people. There's power to you also, power for you. And power is potential or capability or ability to do something, or ability to affect something. And it says it's exceeding, which is over and beyond. The over and beyond greatness. And greatness is much more than ordinary. You have much more power available to you, much more ability available to you, much more ability to affect a situation than normal available to you. You have the power of God available to you. And that's God's design, that you would walk this earth with his power available to you to help the people who need help on this earth and the people who want help. Greatness is much more than ordinary size or volume. You have a much more ordinary size or volume of ability available to you than a person of body and soul, because you're born again. It's higher in quality. And that's what Peter and John, go back to Acts 3, was it Peter and John? Had available. Look, go back to Acts 3 again. Go back to Acts 3. I told you. Time to go to a different bed. Acts 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, what did he have? Much more, something much more powerful than silver and gold, than money, than physical things. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He had the right to use the name of Jesus Christ to heal that guy. Not just to give him a couple pieces of money, but to heal him. That's the power he had. That's the much more than ordinary ability he had to heal that guy. And he looked, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He was healed by the ability that Peter had because he was born again, the ability to help others. His feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. How much time do I have to eat? No, that was a different teaching. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They saw him all the time. And now he was walking and leaping. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So, like Albert said, he's holding Peter and John, and everybody's like, what's, that's that guy, the guy we walk by every day. What's going on? And when Peter saw it, they're all looking at him wondering, like, huh? And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? And then they were staring at him like they were like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie with a baby or something like that. Or why look ye so earnestly on us? Can you imagine that? They're just looking at him earnestly. What does that mean? I don't know. Earnestly. As though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. Holiness, by the way, is Eusebia, godliness. Thank you, Les. Amen. Amen to that. But he said it wasn't by his own ability that that man walked. It wasn't by Peter's own ability that that man walked. It was by whose ability? God's ability that he had available to him. And we have much more available to us to help people with than our own ability. Like our own ability to think, our strong arms and fast feet, our experience with other people's problems in the past, our ability to carry people to the hospital or something like that with a car or something like that. We have much more potential and ability available to us. We have the power of God. And that's what he's saying. Why look you on us as if something, it was our own ability, it was our own potential that caused this. It was the name of Jesus Christ, the power of God, that they used, that they had available to use, that caused that man to be healed. It's not your ability. And many times we get so used to thinking it's just limited to us and what our ability is. But it's not. It's like we heard last night. God arranged all this. He already did all this, and you can use that power. And it's not based on how smart you are or how strong you are or how old you are or how young you are. I've heard stories of people getting healed by idiots. Maybe one of you were like, maybe not the idiot, but maybe you were healed by an idiot, right? Like people who had no right whatsoever to pray for you and you get healed, right? You know why that is? Because the power is of who? It's of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. You don't have to earn your bones. You know who earned your bones in the body of Christ? Jesus Christ earned your bones. God wants you to help people, and he's given you the ability to do it, to help the people in the body of Christ, the people in the household, and the people outside of the household who want help. And he's given you potential and ability to really help people where they really, really need the help, to heal them, to set them free, to get them out of bondage, to fix their families, to fix their brain, to fix their bodies, to give them eternal life. That's the ability you have available to you. And we ought to use that, because that was God's plan. 1 Corinthians 1. Some of you might be offended at this, but maybe it's not talking about you. I don't know. You have to decide this. 1 Corinthians 1:25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. God at his most foolish, which is ridiculous to think about, is wiser than the wisest guy. So why think you need to be super duper wise when you have the wisdom of God available to you? And don't you have the wisdom of God available to you? Can't God tell you what's going on? Can't God show you what to do? God is so much wiser than the wisest man, and we have his wisdom available. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. God at his weakest is stronger than the strongest guy. And you have the strength of God available to you to use. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, and this might offend some of you, but maybe it's not you, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Dang, how'd I get in it then? I don't know. I'm so thankful that I still got to be born again. What are you laughing at? Look at this one. But God has chosen the what? Foolish. You were wrong, Jay. You got to give a dollar back. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Foolish things confound the wise. People think they're so smart. Foolish things confound them because God is involved. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are what? Weak little you can do more than the smartest, strongest, most powerful guy. Weak little you, because you have who? God and Christ in you. And that's what God likes. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Things that mean nothing, to bring to naught things that seem so big. That no flesh should glory in his presence. It's not by your flesh that you get results and that you can really help people. Now, you can help people with your flesh. A hug is nice, isn't it? Yeah, and giving people a ride in your car, helping them get a job, listening to them for a while. But you have so much more available to help people with. You have the power of God, which is way, way above what your flesh can do. And God wants you to use it. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. You have wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, if you want to brag about something, how cool and great you are, don't. He that glorieth, let him glory in him. Yeah, because without God, you can kind of help, but with God, you can get the job done. And that's what God wants. Look at Job 38. Job's a cool book because, you know, Job has a terrible things happen to him. And his wife finally says, which is so funny, well, just curse God and die. Everything goes wrong. And then he has his buddies come. And I like this because they all know so much about God. They're just amazing. They know everything about God. They're the wisest people. They can tell you everything there ever is to know about God. And sometimes Job, if you read it, he thinks he's pretty smart too, by the way. They got everything figured out. And finally God says in Job 38, should I wear a nose screen or something like that? Do you have nose screens for speakers? It's a good idea. It's a good invention. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Smarty Pants, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. You're so smart, you know everything about everything. Where were you when I laid it all out? Where were you? I think you are still in your beginning stages of life. No, you weren't even around. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereof are the foundations thereof fastened? What's it all fastened to, smarty pants? Or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Excuse me. Or who shut up the sea with doors, when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud ways be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? Have you ever had the sun come up? Have you ever been able to make the sun come up with your smartness and wisdom and you know all the cool things you know? Hast thou commanded the morning since the days, and caused the day spring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? You know what's going on down there? Or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been open unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare, if thou knowest it all? How wise are you, really, without God? And how wise is God? And even with all your knowledge of everything, Corinthians says we see through a glass, what?
Darkly.
But who sees? And who knows? And His wisdom and His power is available to you. Verse 20, verse 19, where is the way where light dwelleth? Where is light from? Who knows this stuff? Who invented this stuff? God, and His ability is available to you. Which would you rather use? It's like, do you want this penny or this $1 trillion bill over here? Which one? And you know what? They're both free. The penny you were born with, and when you got born again, you got the $1 trillion bill. Which one are you going to use? Well, I'm going to use a penny. I'm used to it. Right? Use the $1 trillion bill. He goes on and on. But the most important thing about this section is 39:10. Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow? So, unicorns do exist. That's all I've got to say about that. It's in the Bible. I know you think you're smarter than that. I know you think they died during the flood because they wouldn't get on the ark. But apparently you were wrong again. God ends up in chapter 40, verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? You can instruct me? He that reproveth God, let him answer. This is the smartest answer Job has. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. I don't really know that much. And you know, when you get to the point where you realize you don't really know that much on your own, God can help you. And God can show you stuff when you realize you're not that smart. Behold, I am vile. What am I supposed to say? What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will... I think I hear the unicorns. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God? Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold everyone that is proud and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. In other words, do stuff I can do. Then, verse 14, will I confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Can you do what God can do? No, you can't. And one of the smartest things you can decide is that you need help. That you need help. That you don't know that much, even with your incredible knowledge of the Word and how everything's defined and everything else like that, that you need help every day to understand what's going on. Look at Psalm 39. It's good to have a great knowledge of the Word as long as it changes you, it affects you, and as long as it changes your behavior. Psalm 39. I love this one too. Verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Man, you need God. Part of having great respect for God is when you realize how weak you are, how much help you need. And without God, you'd be in trouble. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. There's no super duper great men or women on this earth. They're all like you or me. You know, just because there's a movie about the X-Men and the Y-Men and the B-Men and the Z-Men and the Green Lantern, Captain America, Hobbits. You're the greatest people there are. We're all just kind of a vain show, aren't we? What's this myth of the super people? You ever met one? There's no super people on their own. But there's people who can walk with the power of God, who can walk with God, and that's you, people like you. God designed it for people who are just like you are right now. There's no super doom. Everybody's a vain show. Even in the body of Christ, you think some people have less problems than you and are cooler than you and think better than you? I doubt it. You ever met him? Dean didn't say a lot of things about living at my house that he could have. We're all just a vain show. And yet, we have the power of God available to us to help people. 2 Corinthians 12. Remember what Jesus Christ said when they called him good? You're even now. You're even in the money. That's it. You think he was just using motivational techniques on those people? What was the secret of his success? He humbled himself. He emptied himself. He trusted God. 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 9. Look at verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Are we in the right place? No? Yes or no? Because when I asked that question, it sounded like you said, ogri, 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 ogri. My grace is sufficient for thee. My kindness towards you. My favor towards you, that's strong enough. That's what you need. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, and that's my ability, the incredible ability of God, the potential of God, the capability of God, for my strength is made perfect, and perfect is consummated, brought to a full end, brought to pass in what? Weakness. And weakness is want of strength or feebleness. And it's when you realize you need help, that you can't do it on your own. Not with your brain power, not with your past, not with your status, not with your status in the group, not with your physical strength. When you can't do it, when you aren't strong enough, that God can. And then you can allow God to do stuff for you. And that's when God's power gets consummated, comes into effect, when you just go to him and expect him to help you, expect him to show you what to do, expect him to show you how to carry it out, expect him to supply you with the power, expect him to give you the wisdom, to give you the guidance. And you know from last night that he will, right? So maybe we believe in ourselves a little too much sometimes. You ever watch American Idol? Apparently we do. I'm going to be the greatest singer of all time. Don't think so. Maybe you need to believe in God more and yourself a little less in terms of your perceptions of things and how you think you should do things and what you can accomplish on your own. Because maybe you can't. Maybe that's why we needed a Savior. Luke 18. Luke. That's a lot like the Force. No. Sorry, that was wrong. Yeah, there it is. The Jedi Knights were super special people, right? Well, but then one of them turned into the bad guy. So, same thing. Luke 18. Verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in whom? Their confidence was all in themselves. They placed their hope and confidence in their own ability. That they were righteous and despised others. If you look down at other people in the name of God, then you have a problem with your heart. You don't really understand God. He hasn't really changed how you think or how you see things. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a loser. A gypsy guy goes to gypsy weddings. Highly recommend that show, by the way. What's the name of that show? My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding. I guarantee you can't stop watching it once you start. Okay, I'm just saying, see if I'm wrong. Well, this guy was a gypsy, the publican. Who would we really look down on? You know, he was a Jewish guy who worked for the Romans and collected taxes, probably dishonest and stuff like that, right? The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee for me. I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this slimy guy next to me, this publican. Thanks that I'm not like that. In case you haven't noticed, I fast twice in the week. Woo-hoo. And what's the deal with this guy? All his confidence is in who? Why is he going to get things done? He fasts. He watches himself fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. All the things that I do is why I can have confidence. I'm sorry, I lost my place. I didn't have a stroke, I lost my place. Where? Oh, now I can't see it. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Can you picture that? But smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Which one did God like to see? The one who knew he needed help, the one who knew he was a sinner, the one he knew he missed the mark. God can do something with that person. God can help that person. God can produce for that person. Because the person who's confident in themselves doesn't need God. And all of their knowledge and all of their fasting and all of their attendance of things and all of their classes and all of their this and all of their that. The person who knows, they fall short. God can help. Nothing wrong with all that stuff. It's the attitude of what you trust, right? 2 Corinthians 13. You know who trusted God the most? I guess you probably know that, right? Jesus Christ. He just trusted God. He never did his own will. He did the will of God, but he trusted God. 2 Corinthians 13. I turned this thing off, by the way. I didn't know what this was. Sorry, group. Second Corinthians 13, 3. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you where it is not weak, but is mighty in you. I just read that for the context. Talking about Christ, right? For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the ability or the power of God. You know, he died. And after you're dead, you can't really do anything for yourself, can you? How great is your renewed mind when you're dead? How strong are you when you're dead? He was dead, and God raised him from the dead. That's the power of God. Now, Jesus Christ died knowing and believing he'd do that, but he kind of left it all up to God, didn't he? Once he gave up his life. You can't think when you're dead. You can't remember scriptures. You can't do a formula in your mind, can you? You can't do anything. You can't do anything. And Jesus Christ knew that God would raise him from the dead when he couldn't do anything, that God would do that. Look at back to Ephesians 1. You should try that sometime. You only try it once. No. We should make all the people who laugh a lot sit right up front. We should have a laugh track. Like the Amazing Grace, only a laugh track. That would make me think you like the teaching. And I wouldn't have to picture you naked to not feel bad up here. Ephesians 1:19. and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to you. God wants you to know in the context. It's a prayer. He wants you to know how much power can come your way to you. Not the people around you, to you. Not the good believers, you. Who what? Who believe. Who have confidence. Who are persuaded. So much incredible power comes your way when you're persuaded. And God wants you to know that. That that's available to you. According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought or energized in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Jesus Christ was dead, and God got Him up with His power. Jesus Christ couldn't do anything. That's why it said weakness in the verse in Corinthians. God did it all. Jesus Christ knew He would do it. God did it all. That's the power that's available to you, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Why have it? Look at Acts 1. So you can do magic shows? That's why they have the power of God? Have contests? Miracle contests? Revelation comparisons?
I got 3 revelations today. I got 4. And one of them was about you. And I know about you and the goat.
That you like to eat goat at the Jamaican restaurant. I know that. Where did your mind go? Acts 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive power. That's the power of God, the ability of God. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall build business unto me. And ye shall be what?
Witnesses.
We have the power so we can be witnesses. Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And a witness is one who has information or knowledge on anything and can therefore give information concerning something or bring to light or confirm anything. You confirm what Jesus Christ accomplished. Your calling is to represent God here on earth now that Jesus Christ isn't here. And you have the power of God in order to be a witness to what God accomplished in Christ Jesus. And what does that mean for real people? That they can be free from the snare of the adversary. That they can live a more than abundant life. That Jesus Christ won that for them. That they can be righteous before God and have peace. That they can have joy. That they can have love. That they can be in a family like this. The things that Jesus Christ accomplished. That's why you have the power. So you can demonstrate that and inform people of that. That's your main calling on the earth. Otherwise, I think it'd be better if the minute you got born again, you went to heaven. Right? Wouldn't that be better? But you're a part of the solution to the evil of this world. You're a part of God's plan to ease the pain of this world. First, He had His Son, Jesus Christ, come, and where He was, people were delivered, God's will was done in that spot. But the ultimate plan, while it's man's day in this time, is for lots of people to be able to deliver people from the power of the adversary, for lots of people to be able to heal people, for lots of people to fix what was broken when Adam disobeyed. Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's God's plan. And you have the power of God to do that with. It's like if it's dark out and someone gives you a flashlight for free, what would be a cool thing to do if you wanted to see stuff? Use it. All you got to do is use it. Well, God gave you Holy Spirit, eternal life, Holy Spirit. You should use it. And the intent is that you can help somebody, that you can heal somebody, that God can show you where to go. You know, like I'm thinking about Cornelius, right? He wanted to know about God. God showed Peter, told him to go there, right? Yep. Told him to go there. Pretty interesting record, though. Peter didn't really know. He got a revelation. He didn't understand. You can read the record. And all he knew was, after he was wondering, what was that? What was that sheet with animals? All these animals I can't eat. What was that? Then all he knows is, God says, 3 men are coming to get you, go. There's 3 men at the door, go with them. Nothing, doubting. That's all he knew. Sometimes God will just show you the first thing to do. You do that, and then you know the next thing to do. But God does work in you. God is already in your life. God is already at work in you. He already has showed you stuff. And it's just a matter of getting more confident in your walk and not getting talked out of it. Not getting talked out of that you can walk with God, and you're supposed to. You're a part of God's plan to help people here who are under all the tyranny of evil that the adversary has. 2 Corinthians 5. Who do you think wanted that lame guy healed more? Peter and John or God? How wonderful for God that there was someone there that he could, that would listen to him and that believed they could do it. Who do you think was happiest when that man was healed? That man was leaping and stuff, but you know who was happier? If you know God, you know he doesn't like anyone to be hurting or in pain or in bondage or sick or any of that. And how blessed was God that there was someone there who believed that even though they might be a little hinky sometimes, you know what hinky means? Kind of weird sometimes. They could still use the power of God to help that guy. Do you really think that you're such a big issue with God that he wouldn't want you to help people with his power? You think you're the worst person he's ever seen? Second Corinthians 5. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to what? And you know that we heard it last night, you take the place of the absent Christ here on earth. And that means that you do what Jesus Christ did. But the cool thing is, we can go all over the place. The church of the body can go all around, can be everywhere, helping people with the power of God, healing people, showing people how to get born again, how to get eternal life, casting out devil spirits. How many people are in this room? There's about 100 people here. That's 100 people who can help people with the power of God, even though they're kind of weird sometimes and have weird emotions sometimes and do bad things sometimes, still have, by the grace of God, the power of God to help people. Like, if you see me looking like I'm really sad, you could speak in tongues for me. That's the power of God. And what do we learn that that does? Makes intercession. You're already getting involved in my life to help me, right? And God can show you something cool to do for me. And God can, or you could maybe do something cool for me. He could show you exactly what to do, and it would help me to believe to get healed or something like that, right? God works in regular people like you, and he just wants some of this pressure and some of the burden of this life to be taken off of people. And you're a part of that solution. That was his plan all along, that you'll walk this earth for God and help people with the power of God. Acts 10. That's got to be your biggest calling, your biggest desire. And the weird thing is, it's by your freedom of will. God doesn't want anyone to force anyone to love him. He wants you to love him because you, by your freedom of will. And he wants you to serve him by your what? Freedom of will. He's never going to make you. He'll never reject you. He'll never stop loving you. He'll never stop caring about you. He'll never stop wanting to take care of you. But if you, by your freedom of will, decide to represent him here and have the balls to believe you have the power to help people spiritually with the power of God in your life, I bet that makes them pretty happy. Acts 10, 38. Maybe you should get over yourself. This is what Jesus Christ did, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Sounds like someone else you might know? You take his place. And there's more of you who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was what? Who is that now? It's you. You have the power of God. Isaiah 58. God knows what you represent to this earth. So does the devil. And you decide who you're going to listen to. You know, you believe by the arguments you pay attention to. As far as God's concerned, you were called to represent Him, and you can use His power. Use it to take care of each other and to help people who want help. Isaiah 58. Verse 1, cry aloud. Cry aloud. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Tell them what they're doing wrong. But they won't believe in themselves no more. Okay, don't tell them what they're doing wrong. No. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. That's like, yeah, right. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. That's like, I don't know what if you call that sarcasm, but it's like, not really, that's what they say. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou knowest not? We fasting don't notice God? And wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? We're afflicted, we suffer, we work really hard on these advances and get tired. Don't you notice God? Well, we can only do things after midnight every day. Wah! We have afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you like seeing yourself do that stuff. You think it makes you look cool. Don't do nothing, really, but you like it. I read the Bible on my knees for 4 hours. You know who that blessed? You. Because it made you think that you look cool. Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, just to see who's better, for contention, for competition. You fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. You just do that stuff to appear to be the coolest person in the group. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is that what God really wants? For you to suffer and fast and be suffering all the time? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Isn't this what God wants you to do? To loose the bands of wickedness? If someone's all bound up, what would God like done? Loosen him. And you need revelation sometimes to do that. You need the power of God to get people out of bondage. Sometimes telling them to renew their mind isn't enough because they can't control their mind. And you need to know what's causing it and what's doing it and what to do about it. Is that possible? Even for you? Also you? Power of God to you, for you. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens? To what? Lift burdens off of people. And to let the oppressed go free? People who are oppressed, you set them free? And that you break every yoke, everything that binds people, you break, you help them to be free from it? That's what God wants to see. Not religious activity and competition as to who's more spiritual. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that you cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Like maybe even if someone calls for help, answer the phone? Even though you know they're calling for help? And my big fat gypsy wedding is coming on in 10 minutes? Doesn't God just want you to help somebody? And yeah, a hug is nice and money's nice. That helps. Cars are nice. How about the power of God? Do you have that? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. When thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer, thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, putting bondage on people, the putting forth of the finger, attacking people, criticizing people, condemning people, and speaking worthless stuff. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Your darkness will be like middle of the day. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. When you decide you're going to walk with God and do something about this, you know, Dr. Wells said, turn the world upside down. Well, what's the world? Oppression. The tyranny of evil, they used to call it in the Old Testament. The tyranny of evil of the adversary. Verse 12, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. What's the point? The point is that you have the power of God to you, you also, and you can use it to help people. And that's God's plan. People say, you know, the philosophers used to say, they talk about the silence of God. In the midst of all this suffering, all this pain, God is silent. You're the answer to that. That's what God's plan was. You're the answer to that. God is not silent when you speak, when you walk. People do get delivered. People do get helped because you have the power of God to use. All right? Okay? Should I pray? Should someone else pray? Father, thank you so much for your great love for us, and thanks that we have each other to help each other so much and to enjoy each other so much. And thanks that we have a great purpose in life that's just bigger than feeding ourselves. Thanks that you back up your word and that we do get to see how easily entreated you are and how wonderful it is to walk with you. And thanks so much for making it available for us to live in this day and time and to be your sons and daughters. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.